a Christian identity, kind of who we are in Christ, to get a gathering in of the understanding, to really partake of it and be able to figure out what does this do in our life and what is God's plan for us then through that. So let's start with some prayer. Father, we are opening ourselves up to you as we yield ourselves. Okay, I thought the door was locked. Amen. Let's praise you, Father, for opening our hearts and minds to be able to hear what you're saying right here and now through your word, Lord. I pray that we get this into us, Lord, that something gets in our heart, that we hear testimony, that we see things in your word, that it comes alive to the point that it makes a difference in our life, that it truly begins to transform us, and that our minds are renewed by your word. Our minds are renewed to think our new creation life, to think in a way of how you see us and what it really means to be a Christian. And Father, we're praising you for these things. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. Christian identity. And you could, if you want, put the word your in front of that. It's about your Christian identity. And as I speak to you, obviously I'm speaking to myself as well. We're in this together. Amen. Amen. Our society that we live in, if you haven't figured it out, probably tell you something you already know. Speaking to the choir, right? Our society is filled with pressures to conform. Okay, for thousands of years, there has been groups and governments and clans and cliques that have attempted to influence or even coerce, you know, physically force people to become one of them, or at the very least to live in a manner that says that you accept or identify with them. Okay, now, most of the people involved in a particular lifestyle are willing participants. I am a Christian because of a decision that I made. Okay, I stepped into that kingdom. I'll give you some testimony. I want to explain some things about that in a few minutes. Someone or something has influence people to want to identify with a particular group, okay, and they have shaped themselves sort of to fit the mold. Okay, now I conversed with someone a few weeks ago, about the folks that we so often see along this section of the I-80 corridor who are, and I just call them the Continental Divide Trail hikers. Okay, they are people that we see them kind of come through town. We're on that corridor, and we know that you can often, what I was saying was I was kind of joking, that you can often recognize them from a distance. Right? As I told my wife, if you can't see them, you can sometimes smell them from a distance. They've been on the road a while. And I'm poking fun, but I love people, trust me. Okay, these are people that have set out on a 3,100-mile hike from Mexico to Canada. Okay, and you can oftentimes pick them out from a distance because of the way that they look. They have a certain, not everybody, I'm grouping, don't get after me, I'll get letters in the mail or something. Okay, I'm just kind of saying that oftentimes you can pick people out that are on this 3,000-mile trip. Right? You with me so far? You kind of understand? Yeah, you kind of see oftentimes some of the same stuff, the khaki or olive drab or whatever color, you know, of that day or the week that it was that week, worn with hiking boots, you know, usually it's shorts with hiking boots. Their legs are tanned, especially the backs of their calves, to the point that you think they're wearing pants from a distance, right? Brown pants. And then you get a little closer, it's like, oh no, those are actually shorts, and they're just that tan. Okay, they often have a medium to large, and some an extra large size backpack that is adorned with some sort of a bedroll, something that they're going to sleep on wherever they find their spot. They have a walking stick, oftentimes. And of course, the trademark is the floppy brimmed hat. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of sits over like a safari hat kind of thing. Okay, now they fit the part of someone who is walking for several hundred or thousands of miles across our wonderful country. Okay, by the time they reach this section of the country, they have most likely been on the road for weeks or even months at that point. They are on their way through. Okay, and it's certainly at that point in the trip, they have begun to identify themselves as divide walkers or divide hikers. Okay, you see somebody in a coffee shop, hey, what's going on? Oh, I'm walking the Continental Divide. That is kind of who they are at that point in life. They are so deep into it that at this point, even going back, they would still be a divide walker, right? They're right in the middle of something. So they have begun to identify with that. Okay, now they have usually conformed to the image of someone that is partaking on such an adventure simply because of the practicality of it and because of the necessity of the backpack to carry their belongings and their bedroll, okay, the walking stick to keep their balance or to protect themselves, okay, the bedroll to sleep on, and of course the floppy-eared hat helps to protect their ears from the scorching sun. Okay, they dress that way and do those things on purpose. It has a practical need, a practical purpose. Now see if you can sort of apply this. We're talking about our identity. So see if you can apply this to your Christian faith or your Christian walk. Okay, most likely, each one of you, if you were asked, would tell someone that at least to some extent, you identify as a Christian. Am I right? Okay, you are a child of God. You are a man or a woman of faith. Okay, you are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, the Lord. You have accepted Him and made Him your King. Yet, even though you are quite a ways into your journey of faith, some of you are still struggling to accept and maintain your identity as a Christian. Okay, the battle remains between your flesh and the Spirit of God within you. The Scripture says the flesh and the Spirit are at odds with each other, right? They're constantly at a battle. Okay, so that battle remains there between the flesh and the Spirit of God within you. And the flesh is aided by the fact that there is a tremendous amount of pressure to conform to the ways of the world instead of the ways of God. The world wants us to identify with the world, to connect with it, to be a part of the world. God wants us to connect and identify with Him, okay, with our identity as a Christian believer. You know, the bride of Christ, or the church as a whole, in many ways has unfortunately succumbed to the influence of the lost world around it and has become more like the world in an attempt, kind of a fruitless, twisted attempt to win more people to Jesus. If we just aren't so one way about stuff, if we just aren't so, you know, whatever, goody two shoes, then maybe people will feel like they can come in and be a part of the fellowship. Okay, we try to win people to Jesus by becoming like the world. Okay, so much of the church today has succumbed to the fear of man. Okay, they don't want lost people to feel uncomfortable because of their sin in their life, so they just add a couple of sins to their own life so that when they come in, there's not such a distinction between us and them. We all kind of blend in together. Okay, now, even though God is pure, God is holy, and He has called us to live a holy life. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." He has called us to live this righteous life. Yet many have yielded to the pressures of people more than the divine influence of God. And in many cases, it's awful hard to tell who the Christians are anymore. Okay, in our workplaces or in the grocery store or places that we go. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, having to wear long dresses and something on your head to show that you're of a particular faith or those kind of things. I'm talking about you should have the Christian glow to a certain extent. You should be shining the light of Jesus to a certain extent. We should be the one that when the crass jokes and whatever starts happening, we aren't at the center of it. We're the one that is escaping from it. We're stepping aside or complimenting someone and saying the words that will edify and build up rather than tear somebody down. Okay, it's awful hard sometimes to tell who the Christians are because we quit excusing ourselves. We quit wanting to be different. Okay, we quit wanting to identify as a Christian and be known for that, and rather we're just kind of melting into it all, being a part of it all, and not making ourselves stand out. Now, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, you are a living example of Jesus Christ to the world around you. You are not to adapt to the world and to take on its way. Okay, rather you are to renew your mind. Okay, renew your thinking so that you begin to think like God thinks. You begin to see yourselves the way that God sees. I prayed this prayer many times. God, help me to see what you see and hear what you hear. Because I felt something, even, I don't know if you guys are praying in the spirit kind of folks, but I do. And sometimes it's just like I can't help myself. I just want to pray in the spirit. There's something going on in the spiritual realm. And God is prompting me, just pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit. And I begin to do that more and more and more. And one time I stopped and I said, God, I just want to hear what you're hearing. What is it? Tell me what's going on. And I asked if he would show me what he is seeing. Okay, because something was happening and I didn't know. Okay, in the end, God did show me some of the things that were going on so that I could pray in a natural prayer and speak the actual words. Okay, now we are living examples of Christ. So as we renew our minds, we begin to think a little bit different. Okay, there's old man and new man, right? There's old creation, new creation. You are a new creation in Christ. So we begin to think better. Okay, we are to be salt and light. Okay, seasoning the world around us with God's love and His grace. Okay, being a beacon of light. We're showing people the path to righteousness. We're showing them the path to eternal life in heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're reminded to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Okay, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Okay, what concord has Christ with a false god or Belial? What part has he that believes with an infidel or an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols or things that are exalted above God? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, he says, verse 17, we can't deny this part. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Okay, now with a world that in recent years has gone a little bonkers when it comes to allowing people to identify as whatever they want, we're starting to see things get stranger and stranger. Some of it's like science fiction stuff that's happening right now. Okay, but people, our world has gone even further, allowing people to identify as whatever they want. And it seems that even Christians are having a hard time accepting the fact that God has called you to be different. He has called you to be separate from the world and not to identify with the world, not to become part of that. The scripture says that we are of this world, but not, we're in this world, but not of this world. Okay, now, many of you might not have known this. Okay, it's hard to look at me today and say, oh yeah, I could see that. But many years ago, I identified as a biker. Okay, I had the whole nine yards. I rode a bike almost everywhere I went. My brother and my friends were all into it. We'd ride to the Sturgis Rally together, and We would ride to other, you know, rallies that were going on around the state. We did the polka runs and all the things that go along with it. I dressed the part. I had the ripped up jeans. My favorite boots were like these kind of mid-calf high army boots that laced up. And of course, you tuck your pants into those when you lace them up, right? And then you have the leathers. Okay, I was a little more buff back then, and so I wear just a tank top, right? And then you put the black vest on over it, kind of show off a little bit. The black leather jacket, okay, with all the buckles and the zippers and, you know, your sleeves zip up, right, to keep bugs from getting up under there while you're riding. So you had the zippers and all those things, and really played that part. I got to the point that that was what I associated with. Okay, the music these guys listened to, that was me. I identified with them. I kind of melted into them, right? We became kind of this crew that we had each other's back. Okay, well, once I became a Christian, a lot of that stuff slowly started to go away. I didn't quite understand it, but some of the identity with the biker guys began to get less and less. Okay, now, even as a Christian, my first year or two after I got saved, I still went to Sturgis, but I wore a pin that said Riding with Jesus. I hung out at the, you know, I went with guys that weren't Christians, but I went and I would hang out at the Christian biker's tent, right, in the Buffalo Chip campground. They had this big thing that says Jesus saves, and all these guys, and you could go and they would share Christ with you. And so I went and I hung out with those guys for that next year or two. But then some of that stuff, that identity as a Christian began to, it just didn't feel right. I just didn't feel like that's who I really was anymore. The bars became like a out of my element kind of thing. I didn't feel comfortable in them anymore. Okay, so we would go on a polka run or whatever, and I'm like, well, give me a 7-Up, you know, whatever. And pretty soon I just started not fitting in with that group anymore. And the Christ glorifying his name in me began to rise up, and I began to see myself for who Jesus made me to be. Okay, you know, I'm not saying if I go ride a bike, I got one right now. And if I go ride a bike, I tried to put on my leather jacket, but it's too small. I'll just say, I'm really buff now. Right? Okay. But you understand when you like riding a bike or riding a horse, or if you're in a particular field or whatever, you understand there are tools of the trade. There are the backpack and the walking stick. There are things that you need to accomplish those things in the natural. But in the spirit, even if I ride my bike today, I'm still a Christian. I still identify as a Jesus freak, right? I identify as who God made me to be, not who I'm trying to be. And so I know I can read his word, and it's going to speak to me, and it's going to convict me in areas, and there's things that I may have done that I don't want to do anymore, and I'm going to ask God to help with that, and I'm trying to become more and more as an outward expression of Jesus Christ in everything that I do. So I can go and put my boots on and my hat and go ride my horse. I can put my leathers on and go ride my bike. I can do those things, but I'm still a Christian. I identify as a Christian. And then I come to church and I put on a jacket. But I don't wear the jacket at the ranch. Do you know that? Because you fit in, or you do the things that you need to do to get the job done that you're doing. But the entire time, whether I'm at the ranch or on a bike or a horse or wherever, I'm still a believer. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be here without him. And so life is lived in a way where I know where my identity comes from. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our identity became that as a believer. Okay, we are known as being holy, upright, morally pure, and we are daily bringing glory to our King. Okay, Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord and he is our Master. That's who we became. That's who we are. You have, at some point, made a conscious decision to accept Jesus as such, and it has removed the need to conform to any other image for long term. Your truest identity is as a Christian believer. That is, if you're seeking to figure out what life is about and who I am, seek to be a Christian believer. Seek to draw from God. Okay, now I saw a video a while back, and I hope it was fake news, but I really don't think it was, unfortunately. It showed a young lady that was probably in her late teens, maybe early 20s, that claimed that she identified as a cat. Okay, she had, I think, drawn whiskers on her cheeks, and she purred, and she meowed, and she kind of talked in a way, I couldn't even imitate it, but she kind of talked in a way that sounded like a cat. Okay, and she would go out in public that way because she felt deep down that that's really who she was, that she was a cat at heart. Okay, now the demonic influence that Satan is having on this world right now is pressuring people to be something that they are not. We were not created to be a cat, right? We were created in God's image to become a believer, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to have a Christian identity. Now, there are certain choices that God in His sovereignty, and I thank Him for this, that He has made that we do not get to override just by saying that we feel a certain way or that we identify a certain way. I'll clarify that. The absurdity of boys going into a girl's locker room because that day they identify as a girl, or men using the women's bathroom, or a guy competing in women's sports, or vice versa, okay, is absolutely demonically inspired. It is not of God. It is a perversion, okay, that Satan has implemented. It is rampant in our country, in the world, but he has implemented it in our society to confuse and to corrupt God's beautiful creation. Okay, you do not get to choose whether you are a human or a cat. God took that one and said, I got this one. Thank God. Someone said, thank God for that. We don't have to try to figure that out, right? Okay, you do not get to decide whether you're a human or a cat. You do not get to decide that one day you think you're a boy when God made you a girl. Okay, we don't get to make those decisions. God made boys and girls with different parts. Right? You can check and see what you got. If you got the right part between your legs, you're a boy, and if you don't, you're a girl. Okay? God made us that way. Okay? You won't be confused anymore. Okay? It takes that right out of the picture. God didn't want us to struggle with that. Okay? There's enough to deal with in life. That one, He said, I've got it covered. God did give you a choice, though, to choose the wide road that leads to destruction, or to choose the narrow road that leads to eternal life with Him in heaven. Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, to enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and unfortunately few there be that find it. God made it easy for you. He narrowed down the options of who you are at your core. Once you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you became a Christian. You became a Christ follower. You are beautifully and wonderfully made in His image. You cannot be a Christian one day and not the next. If you believe, you believe. Okay, and you're going all the way. Be known for what God made you rather than for what the world is pressuring you to become, okay? Or what your flesh is wanting you to become, okay? God has a plan. He has a design for you and what you should look like. In fact, God gave us a tremendous amount of instruction on how to help us fully become and wholeheartedly identify as a Christian believer. He gave us something to go by, so we don't have to be in the dark. I want to show you, just listen to this one short passage. I want to read 12 verses. I know that sounds long, but it's short. From the book of Titus, to give you an example. It's Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. He says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, the aged men or older guys be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior that becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet or self-controlled, to be chaste or pure and innocent, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, so the word of God may not be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. That means self-controlled. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering them again. That means not back-talking your boss. Verse 10 says, not purloining, which means embezzling or stealing from your employer, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why did he give himself for us? That he might redeem us from all sin and iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people that is zealous of good works. Okay, that's why he did what he did. It's not so that we can live however we want and just, you know, whatever. It's so that God that people could know God by knowing us, so that we would exemplify Christ with our life. Now, this is only 14 verses out of thousands of instructions, things that will guide you in your individuality. Okay, as you seek to know who you are in Christ, we've got an explanation. We follow these instructions, and it will help you identify as a Christian. What does a Christian look like? We just read 12 verses that said pretty clearly, old men, old ladies, young men, younger women, and it gave some instruction for each one of us. You are a unique creation. Someone that has special gifts and talents and God-given abilities. Those are the things that are going to help you express who you are. Okay, as a Christian, identifying as a Christian, but then these other things that God has blessed you with will be what expresses who you really are. Now, if you read the first part of this passage in the Amplified Bible, I want to show you what all this stuff was written for. It reads like this. Titus 2:1 says, but as for you, teach the things which are in agreement with sound doctrine, things which produces men and women of good characters whose lifestyle identifies them as true Christians. That's what that meant. Teaching things as sound doctrine that the men and women will understand and get it. Because this is why. So that we end up being producing men and women of good character whose lifestyle identifies them as true Christians. Okay, it goes on to say in the 11th and 12th verse in Amplified, it says, for the remarkable undeserved grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it teaches us to reject ungodliness and worldly or immoral desires and to live sensible, upright, and godly lives. Lives with a purpose that reflects spiritual maturity in this present age. In other words, as we begin to identify as a Christ, we will grow as a Christian and become more and more spiritually mature to the point other people can come to us. Did you know we're supposed to mentor one another? The body of Christ should be working together to help one another to grow up in Christ. Okay, God made you to be who you are with a distinctive personality. Okay, God gave us that. You are one of a kind. Okay, God broke the mold. Say, I can't make another Pam. Right? I can't make another Reed. Okay? I know Pam loves it when I pick on her. As each one of you becomes who you were created to be, and you begin to identify as a Christian believer, the world around you will be affected. It will be changed. Okay? You have a purpose in life. Rather than being conformed to this world, the world needs to conform to you. Okay? Now, the Christian church, I think I might have said this last week or the week before, but the Christian church is waiting for a revival, waiting for people to come in. Okay? The Christian church needs to go get them. The Christian church needs to go to be that light and start impacting the world around us. Start affecting the people in your workplace or in your families or everywhere that you go. Okay? The world needs to conform to you, not the other way around. God made his people peculiar for a reason. Okay, find your identity in Christ. We seek so often to be the best mom or the best dad that we can be. We want to be the best teacher or the best truck driver or the best business owner that we can be. But in the midst of all that, above all, you should earnestly desire to be the finest Christian that you can be. Okay, you can carry a backpack and a walking stick when it's practical and necessary. But you also must know that you must carry, you do carry, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God within you. Okay, when you know and live according to the instructions that God gave us, you're going to stand out as a beacon of light. You're going to make more of a difference. I know that people like to make an impact on the world around them. And it is truth that you will influence people more than ever the more you identify as a Christian, that I am a believer. This is who God made me to be. Okay, so be known as a Christ follower. Be known for Jesus. Be known for being a man or a woman of faith. Be known as a devoted, devout Christian, and walk in your Christian identity. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father God, we are praising you, Lord. I pray, Father, there's some things in our lives, Lord, that we sometimes struggle to let go of. You know that. It's nothing new to you. So, Father, I pray for those particular areas in our life. I pray that we yield them to you, that we say, God, I am a believer. I have chosen to follow after you, and I choose to live according to your ways. I choose to be that light, to be salt and light in the community, to light up my family and my workplace. I choose to live out my life devoted to you in every possible area. So, Father, I pray for those weaknesses that we have. I pray for those temptations that we sometimes give into. I pray that today is a day when we turn them over to you. Father, that you take them from us and that they are gone from our life as something that has steered us wrong or taken us down a wrong path. Let today be your day to have your way in our life, Lord. Go above and beyond our human resistance. Go above and beyond what our mind thinks sometimes, Father, and steer us in a better direction, helping our thoughts and our mind come in connection with you. Let our thoughts be captivated by you so that we grow in Christ, we mature as a believer. As we grow in faith towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this. I thank you that we're a little different now than when we came in, Lord, that you'll take us further with you than we've ever been. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen.